This is Judy Scholl, Building Childhoods with Jesus, and I hope you're smiling because now you are a homeschooling parent. You may not have planned to have your school year end this way, but what a great opportunity. Please make this time special for your child. Help them to look back on this scary and trying time as a wonderful time they got to spend with their parents, and treasure each day with your child. But how are you going to survive all of this? This is uncharted waters for you. And so let me give you some help in planning your day. First of all, you're going to want to make sure you create a schedule. We do best if we can follow routines. Scientists have discovered that it takes about 15 minutes for our mind to move from one subject to another unless we're used to making that change at that time. For instance, if every day I have Bible class at the same time or math class at the same time or reading class at the same time, my mind is ready to make the transition into that class at that time. But if I'd have reading at this time and then I have reading at that time and then I have reading at another time every day, our mind is going to take about 15 minutes instead of 2 or 3 minutes to make that transition. And frequently, children are battling against making that change because their mind doesn't want to change. So the routine is really going to be helpful. First thing you want to do is to make sure that your children are getting enough sleep. Elementary children need maybe 10, even 12 hours of sleep. Every child is a little bit different. But a couple years ago, the Journal of American Medical Association indicated that most teens need 9 hours of sleep in order for them to do their best. Students who get mostly A's and B's go to bed earlier on both weekends and weeknights. Get your kids the right amount of rest. This is a great time to do that because they have nowhere to go. There are no evening events. There are no Sunday events. There's nothing. They're at home. So help them to get caught up on their sleep. And it might be kind of fun to measure them now and in another month check their height, because children only grow when they're asleep. And let's see if you can put on a little few centimeters or millimeters during this time. Now, if you're having trouble getting your children to bed, one of the things that usually works is a good bedtime routine. Your children are going to need a chance to wind down at the end of a busy day, even if it's a busy day in the house. So one routine that has worked very, very well for many people is to have a family worship time and then bath time and then story time while they're in bed. This could be you reading them a story. It could be you telling them a story. Children love stories about their parents when their parents were growing up and what life was like for their parents. And I would just keep those stories very positive. Don't tell them about all the things you might have done that got you into trouble. But look for some positive things to share with them. Then have prayer with them and turn the lights out. Now, if your child is having trouble still getting up when you want them to get up, start their bedtime about 15 minutes sooner. And then keep adding 15 minutes until they are able to get enough sleep so they can get up when you want them to get up. You may need to get through some things before you have to start your work day, so it's going to be important that they follow a schedule that works for the whole family. In the morning, they should eat a good breakfast. I like to say, you wouldn't set out on a long road trip with an empty fuel tank. You're going to fill it up with fuel so that you can go where you need to go. Many times a child will show up in the classroom with an empty fuel tank, and they'll spend all morning wondering what they have for lunch and wishing that they weren't hungry. And this doesn't help with learning. Now, your child's at home, so they're going to have access to snacks during the morning, and so this shouldn't be a problem, except you don't want them eating all the time. You don't want them snacking all the time, so you need to fill them up so they can spend the morning learning and not thinking about food. I suggest that you begin your learning day with prayer. This is so important. Prayer can solve so many things, especially calm our worried hearts, and we can put the day into God's hands, and whatever's going on in the world around us are in God's hands, and then we can go through and have that peace that prayer brings. You know, most children don't get to have Bible class anymore in school. What a fantastic time for you to be able to go through the Bible with your child. You might say, well, I don't know what to teach them in the Bible. That's okay. The Bible is so full of many things you can learn. It really doesn't matter where you go or how you do it. Just get into the Bible. If you're looking for stories, go to the Old Testament. If you're looking for stories about Jesus, go to the New Testament. If you're looking at how to live a better life, look at the writings of Paul and James and John. You don't have to read a whole chapter to them at a time. You can just go through a few verses and draw a spiritual lesson from it. You can ask them, what happened in the story that I can apply to my life? Would I want to do what the person in the story did? Would I have the courage to do this? What have I learned from it? Have those discussions with your children. You'd be amazed at what even first graders might be able to tell you, let alone your high school students. Look at the miracles of Jesus. We're all ready for a miracle right now. And miracles do still happen. So go ahead and spend some time in the Bible with your child. It's important that you have a schedule. You need to schedule in when you have to be in meetings or when you have to work and you're not going to be able to help your child. That would be a starting point. You may be fortunate enough to have your child's school teacher still interacting with your child during the day. You need to put that in your schedule because you don't want your child to miss that opportunity to interact with their teacher and maybe even the rest of their class. That's going to be a special time for them. You know, there are also some really neat things that are online, like zoos that are closed. Several of them have virtual tours at specific times every day where they visit a different animal. Children absolutely love this. And if this is something your child would enjoy, schedule that into your day so that they don't miss it. There are also a lot of art and craft classes online right now. Find something you like or your child likes and schedule that into your day so that they don't miss it. You're going to want to put into your day the things that you can't move around so that your child doesn't miss out on some of these special events. Then you're going to want to look at what assignments your child has because you know what's got to be covered during the day. Another thing you need to schedule in is, yes, children, listen carefully. Yes, you do need recess. I know you want it, but you also need it. You should be scheduling a recess break after the first 2 or 1.5 hours of the day. This should be at least 20 minutes long, and it should be active, and if at all possible, it should be outside in the sunshine. Younger children need more frequent play breaks. They might need to be able to play once every hour for a few minutes if you've got a kindergartner. Even a high school student is going to need to play in order to get oxygen to their brain. We were not built to sit all the time. We were built to move. And if you visit any elementary classroom, you're probably going to see children getting up and down unless the teacher's presenting and asking them to stay put. Because as teachers, we've learned children need to move. It might be to sharpen a pencil. It might be to turn something in, maybe get a drink, maybe go to the restroom. But they're going to need those little breaks, and they're going to need them even in homeschool, which is fine. Just help them to stay focused, but go ahead and let them take those breaks, but schedule in that playtime so that they can get some good exercise. And if at all possible, go out there with them. It may be they only can shoot baskets in the driveway, or maybe they can only skip rope or play hopscotch or bounce a ball. All of that's good. Go ahead and let them do that. You're going to have 2 classes during every school day that you really should not skip. Those 2 classes are math class and reading class. And so we're going to look at reading first. Every day you need to cover a reading class. Now, children can read to their parents. It's very important that they read out loud. I recommend that you never have them read out loud to you after lunch because that is kind of a siesta feeling time for many people, and you don't want to fall asleep while they're reading. But children can also read to their pets and to their stuffed animals, and maybe you can even let them read to their grandparents over the phone. I've noticed that when I let a child who doesn't like to read out loud to read to a stuffed animal or to a younger child, they do much better because that animal or stuffed animal or younger child isn't criticizing them on their reading ability. And so that helps them build much more confidence in their reading, and it's a really fun time for them. I would focus on reading early in the day and check for comprehension. Are they understanding what they read? This is really important. For example, you might ask them, what do you think is going to happen next? So they're comprehending what they're reading now and projecting what they think is going to happen. You can also ask, why do you think they feel this way? Again, this is creating a good connection with the main character in your story. Or you could ask, who do you think is the most important person in this story? Help them to identify that. If they're identifying with that part, then you know they're comprehending. You could ask, how much older or younger is the main character than you? Again, you're helping them identify with the person in the story. Could this have really happened? Help them understand that some stories are pretend. You can ask, what would you do if you were in the story? Making a personal application to what they're reading. Ask them where the story took place, and if it's a real place, take a break and find it on the map. This would be a great time. This also works for your older students, not just your younger students. Now, you might wonder, I don't even know what reading level my child is. And that's true. In an average classroom, we have many levels of students in their ability. So what you can do is go to the internet, Google to find the book suggestions for different reading levels. If you already have the book and you're not sure of its reading level, you can Google the name of the book and it will give you the level of the book. And you will also see a range of what level of reading ability could probably read that story. Now, if you are reading to your child, you can always read something that's a couple grade levels higher than what they are learning and reading for themselves, because they're still going to enjoy that. What if you don't have any books to read? All you have is whatever book the teacher sent home with your child, and they need to be reading more. What do you do? It's wonderful. You can check your library's webpage, and you should find where you can get electronic or ebooks that you can download for them to read. Even if you feel like you're not a good reader, this is a great opportunity to practice and improve. But you can also get some help from your library using their available downloadable audiobooks, something that might be kind of fun for the child to do while you're having to do something else. You can also find audio stories by going to the website for The Voice of Prophecy, look for Discovery Mountain, or at your Story Hour website. But reading is only part of language arts curriculum. We're going to look at some other things in a few minutes about that, like writing and grammar and spelling and handwriting. But now let's move over to the second subject you should always cover every day, and that is math. You're going to look at your child's math book, and you're going to look at some of the wording in there and some of the terminology and have no idea what it's talking about. Well, you're now catching up with where the teachers were a few years ago when the new curriculum came out. And that's okay. You don't have to understand all of that. What you should do is be teaching your child the method that worked for you, because that's probably the method that's going to work for your child. So don't worry about all the theory and all of the extra ways of doing something that your child's textbook is going to use. Instead, focus on the way you learned how to do that. Teach them the way you learned, and see if they learn that way. Best chances they will. I would recommend scheduling your math time right after an active play time. Their mind is ready to work because they have more oxygen in the brain and they're ready to sit for a little while. Please do not do the work for your child. If you're having to send assignments back to the teacher, don't just say, oh, let's just get this done. I'll do it myself. No, because your child has got to learn how to do this. And you get to observe how they're learning. If they're struggling with a math concept, or even if you're struggling with a math concept, it's okay. Just go Google it. There are lots of videos out there showing how to do all kinds of math problems. Go ahead and watch it with your child. Many children are still going to need a parent to go through and break down the steps and explain it to them in the way that they understand. Maybe not the way the video presented it. If you're not finding what you're looking for through a Google search, go to Khan Academy, K-H-A-N, and they have many, many math descriptions for you. You should always begin math class by helping their mind transition into math time. And a really good way to do that is to have a review. Never start a new concept or a new lesson without reviewing what was learned yesterday. And you might take 5 or 10 minutes reviewing with your child what they need to know. You could play a game, you could use flashcards, just be creative. If your child is learning how to count, just have them jump up and down and count for each jump. If your child is learning how to do addition, go ahead and go outside and use sidewalk chalk and write some problems out there for them to work out. Have some fun with it. If you're wondering if your child is learning what they need to learn, maybe your school didn't send anything home with them, here's a rule of thumb. If they are a first grader, by the time they complete first grade, they should be able to understand addition. If they're a second grader, by the end of the year, they should be able to understand subtraction of at least 2 or 3 digits. If they're a third grader, they should know their multiplication. Do you remember those old multiplication tables we had to memorize years ago? Well, children still need to memorize those. Start with 0 and work all the way through the 12s. And once they have held on to knowing all of that, being able to multiply 2 and 3 digit numbers is not going to be so difficult because they understand how to multiply and how to add. If they're a fourth grader, by the end of fourth grade, they should be able to do simple division. If they're a fifth grader, by the end of fifth grade, they should be successful at long division. And sixth graders on up should be able to do all of these, and you introduce some other concepts like algebra and geometry. Please make sure that they have mastered what they need to know before going on. Now, when you have a new concept, have them do a problem or two and then check it. Do not let them do more than 3 or 4 problems without you checking it to make sure they truly have mastered this concept. Don't assume after a couple problems that they know what they're doing. And super important, never let a child complete an entire assignment before you check for their understanding. It's very important because you don't want them to learn it the wrong way. And it's so discouraging to try to have to go back and do something you thought you finished and do it all over again because you misunderstood something. So again, check them right away. And when you feel confident that they can complete the assignment without misunderstanding something, go ahead and let them do that. When you're giving instructions to your child, you need to be clear, concise, correct, and complete. Children don't always know when you say, oh, go sit down and work on your math. You think that would be a simple thing for them to understand. But you need to say, okay, you need to get out your math book. You need to get out your paper and your pencil. You need to turn to this page. And teachers have to do this all the time. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with your child. It's just the way their mind is working. So go ahead and be clear, concise, correct, and complete. With math, there are 3 things that you can do that really will help them be more successful if they're having to write down their problems. First of all, they always need to double check themselves to make sure they copied it correctly. This is a super important skill to learn, and you can help them focus on that. Double check it before they ever work out a problem. I would say in correcting half of my students who made an error, they made their error in not copying it correctly. Another error that they tend to do is not write neatly, and so they don't understand those numbers. Another error that is easy to fix is lining things up correctly, because as soon as they're out of line, they've got all kinds of problems. Now, there are a couple ways to solve that are super easy. One is to use quarter-inch graph paper and write 1 digit in each box. Oh, that works so great. I've used that for years in the classroom. Totally took care of that lining up problem. But you don't have any quarter-inch graph paper at home, so I saw another terrific idea. That is, turn a piece of line paper sideways and have them line up their numbers along the lines that are now going vertical instead of horizontal. That's going to work really well for you, too. Help them get these things done correctly, the neatness, the lining it up, the copying correctly, and you'll be amazed at how much better that they are able to do. Now let's go back to some of the other classes for language arts. One of them is spelling. And this is time to have a lot of fun with your spelling. Now, if you weren't given spelling words for them to work on each week, that's okay. There are lists online for their grade level or their ability level, and you can find those. Or you can go to whatever book they're reading for reading class and pull out some words from there that you think that you would like them to learn. And then give them an opportunity to practice spelling those words. And this can be a lot of fun at home. You can get out the Play-Doh or dough and let them form the letters. Either roll out the dough and use a pen or something to write the words in the dough, or they can make letters out of the dough and write the words. One of the most fun things I've done with students over the years is let them use foam shaving cream. So go to their desk, clear it off, or go to the tabletop or whatever might be a safe surface, spray on the foam, and let them write their whole word list and practice those words in the foam. When they're all done, clean it off, and you now have the most clean surface, and it smells great, and children seem to learn their list very well that way. You can use string or yarn for them to form their letters. You can let them play in the sand and use that tactile experience to help put those letters into their mind along with using their eyes. Another fun thing children like to do is use magnetic letters to form words on the fridge or some other surface that works. Now, if you have a very patient pet and your child is very careful, you could have your child form the letters in the pet's fur. Another great way to remember, and your child is also giving the pet a nice massage. You can be really creative. And here's another thing. You don't have to give a written quiz in spelling because you as the parent know whether the child can spell the word or not. So don't feel like you have to do that unless it's something that's being required by your school. Another part of language arts is handwriting. And yes, we do still teach handwriting in all the grades in most schools. One of the things you need to focus on is, do they hold their pencil correctly? If you're not sure what a good pencil holding should look like, you can Google it. There's all kinds of things out there that will help you with that. The reason you want them to learn to hold a pencil correctly, and I recommend that they learn to do this the first time they pick up a pencil, they should be holding it correctly before they're 2 years old. But if it's too late for that, start breaking in a good habit. But their hand is not going to get as tired. Their letters are going to be formed more neatly, and they're going to be able to be more successful through life if they learn to hold the pencil the right way. Older students should be able to get a chance to learn to write in cursive. Many schools aren't teaching this anymore, but you could be teaching it to your child. There are many good tutorials online that your child could watch and then practice. But what's the point of cursive? Well, if they're going to go to college or if they're going to ever want to write something rapidly, it's much easier to do in cursive. And they could come back to school next fall with a skill their peer group doesn't have. It's almost like learning how to write in code, so it could be a lot of fun. There are so many things that you could get to do with your child that would make it a good and fun time for you to be together. One of those classes is music. Now, this is a fantastic time to get some extra piano and instrumental practice in. One of the things that's going to help your child be willing to do this is to have you listen to them while they practice. Any words of encouragement you can get to your child from a parent as they struggle through a musical piece can make the difference between your child being willing to persevere or to give up. This would be a great time to tell them stories about how you struggled with something and how you were able to work through the difficulties and find success. Many children assume they're either musically gifted or unable to play, but the reality is that those who practice will be more successful. Great time to do this right now. Children might not always be so happy about it now, but they will be happy in the future having had that extra practice time. Music is also tremendously important for overall school success. It is the classical music that brain researchers have discovered that allow the four quadrants of the brain to work together. It is through listening to this kind of music and playing this kind of music that children's brains begin to function better. Isn't that a wonderful idea to just have some music? Children also need to be praised, and it needs to be genuine praise. We want to remember that children need praise all the time, but it should be things that you want to reinforce that they are already doing, so catch them doing things right. If they're playing the piano and they get through a couple measures for the first time beautifully, just when they're done, say, "Ah, I really liked how you played that. I can tell that you've been working on that and that you're showing great improvement." If they've been working on handwriting and you are suddenly being able to read the letters better, you could say, "Ah, this looks really, really nice. You know, I think maybe it's time that we send a letter to your grandparents so they can see how beautifully you're working." Or you could say, "The math you did today is the best I've seen you do. I like how you line things up. I like how neatly you wrote your letters. I liked how you double-checked everything." That's genuine praise. That's praising them for something that they did. It's much better than saying, "Oh, I like how you combed your hair today," or "I like the clothes you picked." No, "I liked that you combed your hair today. I'm glad you're showing that kind of responsibility. I liked what you're wearing today. I could tell that you were wearing something that you knew would please your grandmother when you Skyped her or when you are meeting in your classroom together via Zoom, probably." So give them that genuine praise for what you find them doing and spend the time with your children learning and helping them learn. There are several other things to make your school day go better with your children, and we're going to look at those in just a couple minutes. So stay with us and have a good time learning with your child. This is Judy Shull, Building Childhoods with Jesus, for Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.